From Dublin, Texas, Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you this morning to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
I think about this season, how we celebrate the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ this week. We celebrate it. And yet the world really doesn't understand what Jesus really came to do. God wants to do such a work in my life that there's never an end, not to the peace, but to the increase of peace. Will you see it? That this babe in the manger has come to live in your life through the Spirit of God, to give you the increase of peace where it's always increasing.
Living on Every Word.
Living on Every Word.
If you have your Bibles, would you turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Again, I come to you with a message that just has been on my heart over the past 3 weeks, just really sensing God speaking just about some things other than what we've intended to talk about and what we've been preaching about. But I want us to look at Habakkuk chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 3 real briefly. And then I want us to look at the context of 1 and 3. It says, "For the vision, that which God has placed before you, that which you see, that which you hear, is for the appointed time. And it is hastening toward the goal. And it will not fail. And though it tarries, you wait for that. You wait for that vision. For it will certainly come. It will not delay." Promises of God given to you that maybe you might not be experiencing this very moment, but yet God says it is a vision. God says it is a word. God says it is a circumstance that is coming towards you. Will you wait for it? You know, when He comes to speak in your life, He comes to speak with great purpose. There's always a purpose for what you're going through today. Always a purpose for what God is speaking to you about in these days. And I look at this passage of Scripture and first off say, you know, He is a God who does give His people vision and does speak to His children and does show His children what He's up to and what He's doing. You know, that's the big question that we often ask. What's God doing right now? What is He doing in the good times, and what is He doing in the sorrowful times? What is He doing through the days of difficulties? And I want to tell you that God has a vision and He has a purpose for everything under the sun, including what you're going through. He is a God who reveals to us the deep hidden secrets of His mind, who wants to reveal to us the depths of His heart. And how He wants to speak to you will utterly change your life even today, if you will listen. And that's the question. Am I listening for God? Am I watching for Him? In chapter 2, verse 1 in this passage, notice what he says. Habakkuk says, "I'm going to stand on my guard post. And I'm going to station myself on the rampart," you know, on the wall, on the tower of the wall. "Not to look for what the enemy is doing or if the enemy is coming." Because I tell you, the enemy, he's all over the place, right? But so is God. And God is over the enemy today. But he's not going to look like a watchman looking for the enemy to call when the enemy's coming to the troops. No, what he's going to do is he's looking for a word. He's watching for what God wants to speak to him. So he says, "I'm going to stand on my guard post. I'm going to station myself on this rampart. And I'm going to keep watch to see. Nothing's going to take me off this guard post and nothing's going to take me off this station until I see, until I hear." Notice what he says. "I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me." I want to know what God's saying. I want to know what God's doing. So I'm going to, with this determination, with this utter stance, a position that I'm taking, "God, I want to hear you and I want to see you so that I might know how I might reply to you when I am reproved or when you speak to me." Now, when I look at this passage of Scripture, I say this. Habakkuk has a commitment to stand on his guard post until God speaks to his heart. Till God shows him the answer. Till God shows him the vision of what he wants and what he desires in his life. There's this great anticipation in Habakkuk's life in this moment that God is a God who does speak. He is a God that does show us great and mighty things. He shows us who he is and what he's doing. And he speaks to us about what he is doing in our lives. And Habakkuk is simply saying, "I'm going to stand there. I'm going to keep watching. I'm going to keep waiting. And I'm going to watch for that word. And I'm going to watch for that vision. How will God speak to me? What is he going to say to me today? And when he speaks, what am I going to say back? How am I going to reply? How am I going to answer? How am I going to live if I'm expectant of this word? What will I be and how will I be according to that word that He is speaking to me? Because you see, so many of us want to hear a word, but when we hear it, we decide, no, I didn't want to hear that word. Right? How often does that happen? Where God comes along and speaks, say, I didn't want to hear that. And oftentimes you'll get mad at the messenger for saying it to you. Right? You'll get angry at it. He said, you're just judging me. And all along God says, listen, I have a word for you in this. Sometimes when God speaks, it'll hurt sometimes, folks. Sometimes it's not an encouraging word. Sometimes it's a rebuke or a reproof that we need to hear from God. But we don't want to hear that, see. So what we'll do is we'll find a radio personality. We'll find a preacher somewhere. They'll just tickle our ears and say, this is what we want to hear and how we want to hear it. Don't mess with my spirit. Don't mess with the soul. Don't mess with the sin in me. Don't mess with the junk with me. But not Habakkuk. Habakkuk said, you've got a vision. And whether it's reproof or whether it is an encouraging word, we are expectant of that word. We want to hear it so much, and I'm ready. I'm ready to reply. I'm ready to answer the way you want me to answer it. You know, the question is, when God speaks to me, first of all, is there an expectation, as is in Habakkuk's life, that God is going to speak? And the second thing I got to ask, along with that expectation, am I going to answer what He says to me with action, with obedience, and with follow through? Or I just say, yeah, He's spoken to me again. The reason why God is so silent to so many of us is because we've not responded to the last thing that God told us to do. We've not replied to the last word that God's given to us. We've not been faithful with the word and the vision that God's given to our lives. The essence of this passage to me is that God is full of vision for His people. God speaks, He shows. I want to tell you, He is a show-and-tell God. Amen? God is a show-and-tell God. He comes along and He shows you these things. He gives you these gifts. And one of the greatest gifts that He'll ever give to you is this word. The word of God, the vision that God's given to you. You know, the psalmist knew this when he said in Psalm 5:3, in the morning, O Lord, You're going to hear my voice, and in the morning, I'm going to order my prayer. And what am I going to do? I'm going to eagerly watch. There's such an expectation that as I pray to You and as I speak to You, there's an expectation in my heart that all day long, I'm going to eagerly watch for the word that You have for me and the things that You want to do in my life. And God, I'm willing to hear You. I'm willing to hear You speak. Psalm 85:8 says, I will hear what the Lord will say, for He will speak peace to His people, to His godly ones, but you make sure that you don't turn back to folly when you hear Him. That's what He says here. There's this anticipation. God's going to speak. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to watch God do it. I'm going to watch God move. I'm going to speak to God, and God's going to act. God's going to work. And the question I got to ask is, when I pray, and when I ask, do I eagerly watch, or am I so consumed with my needs, my wants, the demands of my life that I just can't watch? I can't sit still enough to hear what the Spirit's saying. In Scripture, folks, we always find that God is such a God that says sometimes, listen, you need to be still. And I'll tell you, that's hard for me. I can't keep still. I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait in lines. I mean, what I want is what I want it, and I want it now. Don't want to wait for it. And that's the way we are in this society, in this instant society, in these days of the microwave, right? In the days of fast food, right? In the days of going to the gas station and just sticking the card in so you don't have to go in. You know, these are the days of fast, of quick, I want it now. And you know, it's just an indictment, I know, on my own life, because God often says, listen, I want to work through your stillness, not through your busyness. I want to show you by you being still before me for a little bit and watching and waiting, not in this busyness that you are always striving in. I know you've heard the words, just don't stand there, do something. But sometimes God comes along and says, listen, don't do something, just stand there. Don't do something, stand there. Sometimes in our control and sometimes in our busyness, God says, listen, I want you to stop. I want you to be still, and I want you to pray, and then I want you to watch. I want you to see what I can do. Turn to Psalm chapter 46, if you would. Psalm 46. Look at the situation that's taking place in David's mind and David's heart. And when he speaks of being still before God, when he talks about waiting on God, he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now watch. We're not going to fear, though the earth should change. Do you like change? Honest. None of us like change. Okay? We are creatures of habit. And we certainly do not like change like this. We don't like when our schedule changes, much less the earth changing. Though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. In other words, it could be falling apart all around me. Mountains falling down, earthquakes all around me. But there's one thing that I know, that there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Did you know you're the city of God? And there are rivers of living water that want to make you glad, even when the mountain is slipping into the sea and the waters are roaring and foaming all around you. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, and it's the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God's in the midst of her. She won't be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations can make an uproar and kings can totter, but he'll raise his voice and the earth will melt. And the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob, our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He's wrought desolations in the earth, and he makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. And he breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Another way to say that is that he has disarmed the enemy of your life. No bow, no spear, no chariot. He breaks them in two. Notice what he says in verse 10. And this is what I have difficulty with. Be still and know that I'm God. Cease striving and know that I'm God. And I'm going to be exalted among the nations. I'm going to be exalted in the earth because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Now you think about that for a moment. Sometimes we need to shut up and be still and quit trying to control it, figure it out, and fix it. Because, my friends, you can't fix anything apart from the grace and the glory of God. And though there's a vision and a word given to you, yeah, there's some times that you move. Yeah, there's some times that you work. Matter of fact, a lot of times you do. But I'm going to tell you, we're in such a culture and a society that we've allowed culture to dictate how we act. Culture says, boy, you better get busy. And you better do it, and you better do it the way culture says to it. That's why you look at so many Christian self-help books, Christian, and how the principles of the world run through it. Now turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Great passage of scripture. We've seen it before. The enemy's coming against them. I mean, they are scared to death. Judah's being invaded. They pray. And they get a word from God. I mean, they're waiting for an answer, folks. And they say in verse 12, God, will you not judge them? We are powerless before this great multitude are coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. But our eyes are on you. And all Judah was standing before the Lord with their infants, their wives, and their children. You know, there's sometimes that I just want to stand before God and just say, okay, God, there is nothing else that I can do in this moment. Thank you for revealing that to me. I'm going to rest now. I'm going to quit trying to do the fritcher fix, right? We can fix this thing. We'll fix it now. And you know what? That don't work sometimes. Sometimes the situations are so overwhelming. Sometimes the situations are so negative. And it's not in our power, not in our hands. So what I ask you to do is just go on and cease striving. Just go on and cease striving. Be still. Stand before him and say, God, I don't know what to do right now, but my eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. And then a word came from the prophet. Notice the word. In the midst of the assembly, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah. In verse 15, he said, listen, all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, because of this great season in your life, for this great horrible circumstances that seem to beset you, these trials that are in your life. Do not be dismayed, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Sometimes, my friends, God just wants to say, look, you don't need to fight in this battle. You don't need to fight in this battle. This battle is not yours. The circumstance you're going through, the struggle you've just come out of, the darkness that seems to be in your soul, God would say, this is not your battle to fight. It's my battle. It's my battle. And I just got to be honest. I like to be in control. Do you like to be in control? You like to be in control. It's our nature. But what happens when God gets in control? And I die to myself and I die to my own control. I mean, think about it. Just stand there and watch. Come on, God. Haven't you equipped us? Haven't you given us a brain to go out against these people? Haven't you given us the faith to get our swords up and to go out with our chariots and our horses and fight this battle? No, you're not going to do that. You're just going to go stand and you're going to see the glory of God. The battle is not mine. It is God's battle. The battle you're going through today is not your battle. It's God's. You may not know what to do. I don't want to tell you that's the greatest place to be in God's kingdom. Not knowing what to do. Because when you don't know what to do, you know that your resources and your flesh and everything about you, you cannot accomplish one victory. You know that. God has brought you to the end of yourself. You know, I think about this whole thought and I said, don't get me wrong. David, when he saw Goliath, did not sit still. He went to that bank. He got those stones and he met that giant. But here's the suggestion. For years and months, he knew the stillness of God in the sheepfolds. David and his life up until that point was more still than active. Waiting for the word of God. See, waiting for it. Waiting for the vision to take place. Waiting for it to come to him. There was a pattern of stillness in his life. A pattern of being still and knowing that he's God. I mean, my word, one stone, that's all he did. I mean, that's the next step after just standing there, right, watching. Pick up the stone, throw it at him, and he's dead. He's gone. It's the kind of God we serve. It's the kind of God we serve. A God that says, just trust me. Just relax in me. Be still. Know that I'm God and that your life and your times are in my hands. You know, Habakkuk comes along and says, I'm going to stand and I'm going to watch and I'm not going to move until God speaks, until God shows. And that's what's so great about God. He does show. He does speak. But we can't be so busy so not to hear. We can't be so busy doing our thing as so not to hear what God is saying. Habakkuk 2:3 speaks of that. He says, listen, the things that I'm saying, the things that I'm going to speak to you, Habakkuk, is the vision. It's for the appointed time. The visions that God gives to us, the words that he speaks, is always for appointed time. It may not be your time, but it's an appointed time of God. You know, notice what he says here. He says, this vision's for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal. The word hasten means to pant. You know, when you're tired and you're running and all of a sudden you know you're coming to the end and you're finally panting. You're breathing hard. To me, when I'm breathing hard during a run, it means I'm getting close to the goal. When the vision is panting, it means it is close. And the scripture says this vision for our lives, our marriages, our children, our finances, for our church life, for relationships, for life, it's for the appointed time. It's hastening, it's panting toward the goal. And that vision is running hard and it's panting. And he says, listen, it's not going to fail. It's not going to lie down. It's not going to lie down and catch its breath. It's coming, folks. The vision is yet for an appointed time. It's panting toward it. It's not going to fail. He says, listen, though it tarries, wait for it. Just wait for it. Watch this, because there's something certain about the vision. It always comes. It will not delay. It will not delay. And what does he say to do about that? He says, you just wait for it. You just wait. You watch and you wait and you watch God come and you watch him work. I asked the question this morning. What is the vision in your life? What is the vision in the dreams that God has spoken in your life? When I think about my life, I think about a vision for my life as someone who will always respond as Christ responds. When I look at a vision for my marriage, I think of a marriage that reflects the relationship between Christ and the church. That's a vision for our children. That when the Bible says for me to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I'll be saved, he says your household will be saved also. I believe that. And that's a vision God's given me. What about for our finances? I know for me in these days, I think a beautiful vision for my life, for my finances is owe no man anything except to love one another. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. That's a vision. When I think about our vision for our church, make them one as we're one. God always gives you the blueprint. God always gives you the vision. And then he says, listen, it may not seem like it, but it's panting toward the gold. I mean, great words, great visions that God's given to us. The question is will we walk according to the principles of God and wait as God would call us to wait for the appointed time? It's God who shows us the vision. He reveals it to us, and then we see it moving toward the goal. The question is will we pant and run toward the vision ourselves in a waiting posture? A posture that says there's expectation in my heart, expectation in my life. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Just as it is written, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. Things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, which have not even entered in the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him. The things that God has prepared, he says in this passage of Scripture of Old Testament, eye hasn't seen it, nor has ear heard it. It's interesting, isn't it? No eye has seen what God's about to do. No ear has ever heard. The thought has ever entered the heart of man. But look at verse 10. For to us, God revealed them. Which eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, God has given to you and me eyes to see and ears to hear what God intends to do in your life. Make no doubt about it. You want to know the will of God for your life? You go through the Scriptures, folks. Don't go to anything else. Don't go to dad's expectations or mom's expectations or family expectation to find the direction that God wants you to go in. It's found in the Word of God. God has revealed it. That which eye has not seen nor ear has heard. He says, listen, God has revealed it. He's revealed it through the Spirit because the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. You know that God wants to reveal to you the depths of God. The depths of God, not the shallow things, the depths of God. He wants you to know how to see it and how it applies to your life. We've received, verse 12, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who's from God. That, watch this, that we might know what the things freely given to us by God. He wants you to know what he's given to you. He doesn't say, well, I've given you lots of things, but you're just going to have to wait. No, God wants to show you the vision. He wants to show you the dream. He wants to show you what he's intending to do in your life. He says, these things we are speaking to you, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man, he does not accept the things of the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him, and he can't understand them because they're spiritually appraised. Spiritually examine. Notice what he says. You walk in the natural and you will never understand the things of the Spirit. Matter of fact, when you see the things of the Spirit, you'll say, foolish, foolish, foolish. Why? Because we're walking after natural temporal things. Folks, got to get our head out of the temporal. You look at your situation, you look at your circumstance, and you're trying to apply everything to it but the Word of God. And you don't understand, it's because you know why? Because you're just natural and you can't understand the things of God. But God in His Word chooses to reveal to you all the things which He freely gives to you. You know, I think about this passage of Scripture, what God revealed, and I think about this season, how we celebrate the coming of Christ, the birth of Christ this week. We celebrate it. And yet the world really doesn't understand what Jesus really came to do. I mean, when I think about Jesus coming, God had already told us what he was going to do. I mean, you look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The vision of Jesus was the seed of the woman that would come and crush the head of the enemy. What a graphic scene of the Lord Jesus Christ coming not into this world, but into your life to crush the head of the enemy. I think about Isaiah chapter 9, verse 1, where he says there'll be no more gloom, no more contempt, because there's going to be a light that'll dawn. And this Messiah will come to us, and he's going to show us the great and mighty things of God. He says this child will be born unto us. He's going to come and break the yoke. His name's going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. No end to the increase of his government, of peace. God wants to do such a work in my life that there's never an end, not to the peace, but to the increase of peace. It always gets better. There's always more. Will you see with eyes that this babe in the manger has come to live in your life through the Spirit of God to give you the increase of peace where it's always increasing, never ceasing? You look at the vision of God. This is the seed that'll crush the head of the enemy. He's the one that'll come and He'll be counselor in your life. He'll be mighty God in your life. He'll be the Father you never had, the Prince of Peace that is so elusive in your life, and it'll be increasing in your life ever. Those are the visions of God. And He says, listen, it's for an appointed time. And I'll tell you this about that one. The time is now. You don't have to wait for it. It's here. Messiah is here to do this work in your life. Born of a virgin, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Lord Himself will give you a sign. A virgin will be with child and bear a son. She'll call His name Emmanuel. So that when Joseph wakes up from the dream that says, listen, your wife is with child by the Holy Spirit of what Isaiah spoke of. Don't be afraid to take her, Joseph, as your wife. Because the vision is fulfilled in your life today. That vision for the appointed time is now. Right now, Joseph. I'll tell you this. Whatever your problem is, whatever your struggle is, whatever the bondage is in your life right now, whatever's going on in your marriage, your children right now, listen, folks, the appointed time for freedom in Christ is not somewhere far in the distance, but today. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? First question. I got to ask about the visions and dreams that I have for my life. Do they truly line up to Scripture? And are they just preferences instead of what God says? Some of us have had dreams and visions of financial prosperity. I want to ask, is that a dream and a vision that truly lines up to the Word of God for you? It may for some people, but it may not be for you. It may not be for me. Maybe it's just something that God says, listen, I want you to depend on me the rest of your life, not on a fat bank book. Because I'm better than a fat bank book. If you've not found that out yet. Lord, I'm just so tired of this job. Please get me out of it. I'm just so tired of this relationship. Please get me out of it. Well, does that line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with the Word of God? Come on. Got to make sure your vision is not skewed by your flesh. That the vision comes from God. Now I know, I look at Scripture, I know that a vision for our lives can be that we today can respond the way Christ calls us to respond. That's the vision of God, respond like Jesus. And I know that our marriage is to reflect the beautiful love relationship between Christ and the church. That's a vision, folks. I want to ask you, will you believe that today? And I know that if we call on the name of Christ, that the promise is that the whole household comes. Not just a ticket punch salvation, but a victorious life of godly living in the home. I know that's the vision of God. I know that's the vision of God. My finances, I know the vision of God. Owe no man anything except to love one another. Our church life, make us one as you're one. Make sure the vision that you're dreaming lines up with the Word of God and not with your selfishness and not with your carton, not with your body, with the life of God living in you. And if it's a vision of God, if it's a vision from God, then that vision is always panting. It's always coming to the end. Wait for it. Meet it. Greet it. Be expected. Get on the rampart. Get on the wall. Get on it and expect God to work. It's coming towards you. Will you not embrace it? Will you not believe it?
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929. or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.
Just as man doesn't live.